Hello, everyone. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Life has many ups and downs, and you just never know what's around the next corner. Over the course of my life, I've had to manage and help out in the situations of health problems with family, friends, and clients and their organizations. It's just the nature of things of an aging population. It's like you hit 50, or maybe it's 40, 50, or 60, and something happens, and you just never know what the situation is going to be. I guess you could say I'm talking about chronic disease management. Oh, CDM, chronic disease management. I know I introduce you to new words all the time. Maybe you've heard it before, chronic disease management, maybe not. It's a topic that is sometimes difficult to grasp, yet you have to deal with it at some point in your life. So I decided, you know, what the heck is this thing? If I wanted to know what chronic disease management was, what would I do? Well, you know, as listeners, what I do is I pop on the Google, as you would like to say, and I throw it in and I see what comes up. So it turns out that CDM is an ongoing care and support to assist individuals impacted by chronic health conditions with medical care, knowledge, skills, and resources they need to manage better or better manage the day-to-day basis or other activities. That's the formal definition. And I really, really read out a formal definition. Recently, I've been helping a friend of mine with, you know, who had bypass surgery. It's about a year ago or so, and it's something I know a little bit about, and maybe in this show I'll explain to you a little later. And he's learning to manage his health, a new health situation for him, and he's not quite sure what he can or cannot do. So he's trying to figure out these lovely things about life, right? Life, love, balance, stress, business. How do you go about and do the things that you need to do on a day-to-day basis when you've had some experience in your life? In his mind, 50s and a relatively young, he's in his mid-50s, relatively young, working to changing his eating habits, his exercising, and thinking, you know, what he can do and what he can't do and what can he afford to do, and he's just not too sure. Doing what he did before is just not an option, and that's a very common theme when you've experienced a life-altering situation, something that's impacted you. I have another business friend, an associate, a client who's been diagnosed with the big C. And I don't even know if I should be calling it the big C anymore. I mean, we're talking about cancer, right? And at this point, he's trying to cope with a new reality to manage his life and move on. Fortunately, he's been in a situation where he's been able to get taken care of. And at this point in time, I guess I'll use the word rectify, but we don't know if that's permanent or temporary. Just don't know. But he's got to learn to manage a new health condition. Truth be told, there are many chronic diseases. And I did another quick Google search and said, how many chronic diseases are there? Alzheimer's, arthritis, asthma, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, obesity is in there too as a chronic disease now. I suspect there's a lot more that I'm not even listing out. So what do you do when you're interested in a topic? Well, you call the professionals. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little bit about chronic disease management with our friends from the Refit Center. And Janet Cranston, yes, and Jessica Thompson, right? Do I have the names correct?
Thomas,
there we go. I want to welcome both to the show. I really appreciate that. Sorry, I had it written down here. For some reason, it's Thompson, but it's Thomas, right? Okay, well, Jessica. Let's start off, Janet. You and I have met before, and we've chatted many times. Let's just start off with just a little bit about yourself. So tell our listeners a little bit about Janet.
Sure. So I am currently in my work. I'm the director of health and fitness at the Refit Center, which is why I'm here today. I guess I feel fortunate in my life that I was grew up in a family that was very keen on being active and living a healthy lifestyle. So for me, that's been my life. And it's taken me, I've been in the field for, over about 25 years. And it's really taken me a while to realize that that is not the norm for everybody, and people need to make some changes in their lifestyle. And for me, it was important for me to just keep that in mind when I'm going through my daily work at the Refit Center, and remember that different people come to the Refit Center with
different reasons.
Yeah.
Jessica, tell us a little bit about you.
So for work, I'm a fitness professional and an athletic therapist with the Refit Center. So that involves doing things like postural assessments and functional movement screens and hands-on treatment, as well as stress testing. And
so all sorts of fun things.
All kinds of fun things like that.
Are you from Winnipeg originally?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Winnipeg, born and raised. And similar to Janet, I grew up in a really fit, really healthy family with really fit parents. So I just thought that that was a regular part of everyone's life. So similar to her, I learned that it wasn't the case, especially when you work at the refit, you see everyone from all walks of life. So
sort of being part of that organization. So maybe that's a good place to sort of kick off, because I would expect, like any organization, not everybody knows what the Refit Center is. So maybe we should start there and say, you know, okay, what is the Refit Center? Like, who are you guys, and what's it all about?
So the Refit is a fitness center, but we are a medical fitness facility, which means that we've met higher level standards. We have degreed professionals, so we have fitness kinesiologists, physiotherapists, athletic therapists, nurses, massage therapists, physicians. So we differ to a normal fitness facility because of the staff that we have and the services that we're able to provide. So about two-thirds of our members have some type of risk factor for exercise. And it was interesting, last year, 50% of our new members said that they were new to exercise. So they did not know which type of shoes to wear, what to do when they come. They don't know what cardio means. They don't know what resistance training means.
They don't know any of the key things that you may take into consideration for exercise. I'm curious about demographic maybe a little bit. Maybe we're just jumping in a little bit more detail. Is there a certain demographic that the Refit Center tends to see that you're servicing?
Well,
providing service to,
we
that's
are
a better word.
Yeah. We are a facility that's open to age 12 and up.
Okay.
And you can be a very fit, healthy person. We've got amazing fitness equipment and fitness programs. But we are known for being able to help people through difficult times, through chronic disease and illness.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about in other segments in a bit more detail.
Yeah. The average age is 59. Split 50-50, male, female. And like I said, a third of our members have zero risk factors for exercise, and two-thirds have one or more risk factors.
Have more risk factors. Yep. So maybe what we can do, too, is later on talk a bit about what risk factors are, because this whole area, we're going to spend the program talking about chronic disease management in terms of what we were talking just before the break. If we were to look at the Refit Center, I sort of think of it as almost like the Mayo Clinic of Canada. And I'm using that term. Is that a good way to sort of categorize it?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
I'm just assuming everybody knows when I say that word that they know what it is, right?
Right. Like the Mayo, what I think of when I think of the Mayo Clinic is the best place to go to get the best information to help you become as healthy as possible.
Right.
So then we can inject the Refit Center as the best place to go to get the information that you need to be as healthy as possible in Canada.
I would agree with you.
So would I.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. I know it sounds like I put a plug in there. But you know what? We need to sort of understand what the organization is before we use it. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about chronic disease management. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Jessica and Janet from Refit Center. We're talking about chronic disease management. So I think that's where I'm going to start this segment off. I know my monologue, I started talking a little bit about and defining it, but I guess from your perspective, what is chronic disease management?
I guess anybody who has some type of chronic disease or risk factor for developing a chronic disease, so that could be high blood sugar levels, high blood pressure, obesity, arthritis. So I guess it's what we try to do is help that person manage their chronic disease through exercise and proper nutrition so that they can live as healthy of a life as possible.
That makes a lot of sense. Do when people come in, do they know they have a chronic disease? Like, is that something that they're aware of? What would you say, Jessica?
Not always. Sometimes they just assume, for example, that they've had sore knees for the last 10 years, and they just assumed that that was, you know, getting older. But really, it's something that could be diagnosed like arthritis, and then it could be managed and improved by exercise and strengthening the muscles around the joint, for example. So it depends. Some people are very aware of everything they have, and others are surprised to learn that it could be fixed, or even just pain can be reduced and they can continue on living a better life.
Than of not better life than not exercising.
Right. So yeah. Exercise is the game changer most of the time. And at the ReFit, that's the main goal, is to show them that.
Getting people moving?
Yes.
Is that a good way to sort of put it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just sort of check in with you.
A lot of people, even, and Jessica can speak more to this, but a lot of people have chronic low back pains that they've had for years.
You know what? I hear that all the time from people, and being an exercise buff, I want to go, well, you know, if you just do this, but speak to that one. Go ahead.
And that's something that people don't think maybe as a chronic disease.
Yes.
Right? They think more heart, cancer, diabetes. But really, and Jessica can talk about this because this is what she deals with all the time, is somebody who's got chronic pain. It could be very much because they need to develop or strengthen muscles in certain areas, or even do some more stretching. So, Jessica, I'll let you take
that. Yeah, maybe, so speak to that a little bit, especially the one for when you talk about lower back. I think it was lower back pain you mentioned. I mean, that's such a common one. I'm sure out of all our listeners, some of them are sitting there right now going, I always have lower back pain.
Right, yeah. So low back pain is very, very common, especially for people who have a sedentary job and they have to sit at a desk or with a computer all day. But what's interesting is often low back pain is postural related more than anything else. So your posture is the game changer that can change your muscles so that they're in balance, so that one is tighter than it should be and one is weaker than it should be. So really it's teaching you how to reinstate the balance so that you have to loosen some muscles and strengthen some others, and then you can actually remove that low back pain. You don't have to go through your whole life living with it.
It's interesting you would say that, because I once had somebody tell me that lower back pain is actually a cause of having weak abdominal muscles.
Usually, yeah. So,
is that true? That's my question. Is that true?
So basically, weak abdominal muscles is a huge factor in low back pain for sure, but so are, for example, tight or weak hamstrings or weak glute muscles or really tight hip flexors. So if you sit all day, your hip flexors are usually insanely tight.
Okay, so let's do some definitions here.
Okay.
Hamstrings are?
Sorry. So your hamstrings are the muscles on the back of your thighs.
The back of your legs?
Right, okay. The backs of your legs.
Okay. You said glutes?
Right, so your glutes are kind of your bum muscles.
Okay.
And then your hip flexors are the muscles in the front of your hip.
Okay. So I just want to add that in, because I know that sometimes when I'm working with health professionals, they start going onto these words,
right,
and then I got to go and look everything up.
Yes, right. It's a habit.
What is that? What the heck's a hamstring? Now, I injured my hamstring in June, so I know what a hamstring is.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun this last 14 weeks or 12 weeks.
Long
or
healing process.
Long healing process,
yeah.
And there's no quick fixes for a lot of this stuff. When we do talk about chronic disease, you were mentioning earlier in the first segment the type of people that sort of come in. Is there a certain area that you find that you have more people in terms of chronic disease? Is that a good way to ask it?
So I would say traditionally the ReFit was very known for cardiac or heart-related concerns or issues. We've really moved away, not away from that, but we've broadened who we are. I'd say troubling trend is that people are coming to us with more than one chronic disease.
Okay.
So somebody who has coming to us for a cardiac rehab program because they've had bypass surgery may also have diabetes, which means that they've got high blood sugar, or they may also have arthritis. So people are more and more, we're seeing, have more than one chronic disease. And really, There are specifics that we would need to do based on each of their chronic diseases, but overall, being physically active, knowing how to exercise properly, reducing sedentary behavior, and then incorporating a healthy diet, generally, overall, helps for all of those chronic diseases.
That's amazing, eh? When you just talk about exercise and eat well, sort of helps with all chronic diseases. That's just unbelievable. It's just sort of sounds so simple, right? But yeah. It's not as simple as it sounds, is it?
And exercise is actually an intimidating word,
yes.
Where people think they have to be at a gym doing push-ups and sit-ups or whatever it is. So we prefer to say that people need to be physically active.
Mm-hmm.
So physically active means going for a walk, taking the stairs instead of the escalator. Washing your dishes instead of putting them in the dishwasher is enough to be physically active. Or at this time of year, raking your leaves instead of blowing them.
Yeah, okay.
Or mowing them.
Yeah.
Right?
So it almost sounds like everything that our grandparents did, we
yes.
should be doing. I mean, I know that's sounds like an old statement and everything, but... and you can see it in pictures. You know, it's interesting. Have you ever looked at it on the internet? Sorry, I'm going a little tangent here. But you do comparisons between children or adults today versus a generation ago or two generations ago, and you look at the photos. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed the difference in the body shapes?
Yes.
Very much so. And I was just reading the news today, and 40% of American adults, I think was the stat, are now obese.
Are obese.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good place to sort of ask, what do you mean by obesity? Like what counts for obesity?
Obesity means you have a body mass index of over 30. So anybody can go to the internet and just Google BMI
yeah.
calculator,
yeah.
and it'll allow you to put in your height and your weight, and then that will generate a body mass index for you. It doesn't always work for every body type, but for the majority of people, it works just fine. And anything over 30 is a definition of being obese.
Obese. If we were to try to put that over 30 into a potential weight type situation, is that a possibility?
No.
Like if I was to say I was 5'7", 5'8", and I was 200 pounds, you know, you can't do that. It's
no.
sort of a very unique to the body
yeah,
type.
Yeah, very unique, because it also depends on how much muscle mass you have also, right? That comes into play as well.
Okay, so there's a combination between muscle mass and fat. Is it okay for me to say that?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the balance between the two.
Right, so you can also think about it, like ideally, you want to change your body composition from being, you know, mostly body fat to then bringing your muscle mass up as much as possible, which will bring your body fat down.
Automatically bring it down.
Right.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that almost like a teeter-totter type
exactly,
thing.
And you want it to shift the other way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit more on this topic. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success, and we will be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am hanging out with Janet and Jessica from the ReFit Center. We've been talking about chronic disease management, and just in the last segment, we were talking a little bit about the body mass, the amount of muscle you have versus the amount of fat you have. And I always find that conversation interesting. What do you think is the real thing that's sort of impacting, we were talking about obesity, that's starting to impact people's ability for activity?
So over the last number of years, we have basically engineered activity out of our daily lifestyle.
Which is a really interesting term. We've engineered activities out of our daily lifestyle, but go ahead.
So when you just think about how you go about your daily lifestyle and how physically active you are, or the amount of time you're sedentary, which means you are sitting or laying. So we no longer have to go to the store to buy a pair of pants.
No.
We can sit on the couch with our computer, order it, and have it being delivered to our door. So we do not have to rake our leaves anymore, because we can blow them.
Yeah.
Or we can mow them up. Or we can just hire somebody to
do
it for us.
I was just going to say, hire the kid next
yeah.
door to do it for us.
We don't yeah. have to, even like just little things that are make a big difference. We don't have to get off the couch to change the TV channel. Mm-hmm. Like you and I had to. Jessica
yeah, yeah.
probably never had to.
yeah,
you and I
not. Did. Yeah, and you'd always bring the TV on rollers and yeah. bring it up close to you on the sofa. And so you could put your hand over.
Or Richard, you would remember this one too.
yeah.
Like getting out of the car to open your garage door.
Oh, no. You just never, yeah. yeah you
like,
just,
you that get, just
you
doesn't
do
happen
that.
Anymore.
Yeah, you'd have to do it, and now you don't do that
so
anymore.
So it's really thinking about... incorporating physical activity by just doing what you said earlier, what our grandparents used to do. So washing your dishes instead of using the dishwasher, or taking the dog for a walk, or going for a walk without the dog, or cleaning your own house instead of hiring a cleaning lady.
Yeah. So those kind of things bring physical
activity. Those
things
will make you healthier.
Well, I'm getting some good check marks here already. I might have missed on one of those. Well, the sofa television thing, that ain't changing. Besides, you binge watch now anyway, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, what do you change? Just put one program on, you watch 10 episodes all at once, and then you're sleep deprived.
Or some helpful hints are when you are binge watching, set your phone on your timer on your phone, and when it beeps every 20 minutes, stand up for at least 30 seconds. And
oh,
then
really?
Sit back down.
And does that make a difference to your body?
That will break up the sedentary activity. It doesn't add physical activity, but it breaks up the sedentary time.
Okay. I would have never thought that as actually something people should be doing. It sounds to me like you should be doing that at your desk if you're working with computers all the time too, which we all tend to do now, right?
Mm-hmm. So like everyone who sits, because the average Canadian sits for about 10 hours a day. If you think about someone who had a sedentary job for 8 hours combined with commuting to work and back from work or dropping the kids off at activities at night, like you're spending that entire time usually sitting. So if you skip lunch, that's even worse. But ideally, you'd break that time up. So every 20 minutes, get up and do a lap around the office. Or if you're going to the washroom, try and go pick one that's further
away.
Mm-hmm.
Take the longer way. Same thing with the one, my wife always comments on this one. When I go to a parking lot, I always park the furthest away. And
yes.
I force myself to walk
Good
to the
job.
Mall.
Good job.
And I just don't want my car scratched.
It's also easier to find a spot further away.
Usually, yeah. Right? But it's funny, you know, there's another one I see too. And this is one that I've observed many times. And I'm a parent. So I got to share stories too. Playground. When my youngest boy was younger, I go to the playground. I would play with him on the play structures, but most of the parents would actually sit on the benches and let their kids play.
Right.
And I always thought that was just sort of weird. Why wouldn't you get up and play with your kid? Play with your kids!
Right. Yeah, my sister's a good example of that. She's got 3 kids under the age of 7, and she does a lot of yoga. So she'll use that time to play around with single arm handstands and things that are completely ridiculous, but using a play structure and then playing tag with her kids at the same time.
Yeah, and it does make a huge difference in your life. So I think that's sort of what you're talking about, like where you would probably sit now actually do something.
Exactly.
Does that sort of make sense? I do have another note. I'm always interested in something around independent living because it's become a big part of my life planning, and I know my friends' life planning. So when I mean, and my business client life planning, when I talk about that, I'm talking about just, you know, they have aging parents, they have people that are kids that are younger, or they've got considerations. What is this whole space of independent living conceptually, and what should we be looking for?
So independent living, think about as you age, you want to be as independent for as long as possible. So you need the strength to be able to open a jar or put something overhead on a high shelf or get in and out of the bathtub. Those are all things that you require strength to do. So it's important to keep up your strength, but as well as your mobility. So you need to have enough mobility to get your arms overhead, to get your sweaters on and off so you can dress yourself. So as you age, you lose mobility and flexibility, and then you also lose muscle mass as well as strength. So it's important that you try and build up your muscle mass as much as you can by resistance training and lifting some weights.
And just being basically physically active.
Exactly,
And is this so is independent living, is that something that we're finding is, I don't know, too sure, is on the decline? Are people less capable of taking care of themselves? Is that something that's sort of maybe a trend that we're going to start to see happen?
Yeah, I would say so. The just the age demographics is shifting. So
sure.
We have now more people over the age of 65 in Canada than under the age of 18, I believe is the stat. People are going to, they're aging, they're living longer because of all of the medication and medical interventions. So people are, we're finding they are living longer but less healthy.
Okay.
So your goal really in life should be to live as healthy as possible for as long as possible.
Yes.
And then
Fall asleep one night.
Yeah, fall asleep one night.
And that's, which is everybody's dream as you get older, is if I could just fall asleep one night when I'm sort of done with living.
Right.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say it's everybody's dream. I just happen to know it's my dad's. but I mean, ideally, I mean, that would be his, that he'd be very happy with that.
But yeah. As Jessica said, you know, as we get older, we just naturally lose muscle mass.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that if you are older and you don't have the strength that you cannot build some of that strength back up.
I'm curious now, because I think for me the question is, if I'm older and I can build that strength up, am I able to get myself back to a solid fitness area of somebody who's 10 years younger than me? Or, like, is there any sort of rules around building muscle mass up? Maybe that's the question.
Right. So it's more challenging to build muscle when you're older, but at the same time, it's completely possible. So you'll find, you know, an 80-year-old bodybuilder who decided to pick up strength training, and you'll
at 60.
Very late in life, and they'll just all of a sudden decide, and you bet that their muscle mass shoots up. Yeah, anyone can do it. It doesn't matter what age it is.
It's interesting you would use that example, because I was reading about this professional trainer, and now a business trainer, okay? So not like fitness trainer. And his wife ended up in a wheelchair. So at 60, he became a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And so at 80, he was competing. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking, he was ripped.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah. So, and is that what you're sort of referring to?
Yeah, and of course, like, if you have someone who's inactive, even like an inactive 30-year-old compared to a very active 7-year-old. We have people at that gym who are even stronger than I am, for sure, and they're much, much older than I am. So, yeah, it depends on what you do and what you make your body do as well.
It's pretty cool, eh? The body is an amazing instrument. You can sculpt it the way you want it. I've always thought of the body as a work of art.
Yes.
And it's your choice as to what you want it to look like.
Exactly.
We're going to take a short break. This is Richard Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about programming that can help you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Set for Success. And I am hanging out right now with Jessica and Janet from the Refit Center. And we've been talking a bit about chronic disease management and basically what that means. So I guess we've touched on more than just that. Interesting thing, though, during the break, we were starting to talk about common injuries and some of the things that you actually see. And I think you started to say, like, falls are really big for people as they get older. So maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
So falls are the number one reason that a senior is hospitalized, is because they've fallen and then something's happened with them. And 50% of those people that fall will pass away within the next 2 years because of complications from a fall.
Because they fell.
Right.
Okay. Now, so let's add in, that's an interesting statistic. Like,
yes.
That's a pretty serious statistic as far as I'm concerned. When you say seniors, 50% of seniors, hopefully, correct me if I got my numbers wrong, and they fall and they hurt themselves, they end up hospitalized. So are we talking like over 65? Are we talking 55 plus? Is there any, like, can that be segmented out a little bit more? Like, because that's a pretty serious stat.
There's really no age, but okay. As you get older, yes. You, as Jessica was saying, you lose muscle mass and you become weaker.
Yes.
And then your ability to react to a situation, like stepping on an ice or even putting your foot onto a rock.
Yeah.
So your ability to be able to react to that becomes less, and then your chances of falling becomes higher. But a lot of falls have to do with muscular strength, or a lack of muscular strength and a lack of balance, which is core strength and lower body strength.
Okay, so those are all both really great points, because it's interesting you say that, because I actually slipped on something the other day and I regained my balance.
Mm-hmm.
So we could basically say that due to all the training I do on my core and
absolutely.
The workout I do, that's probably what helped me actually regain from actually falling. Because I actually thought if I had fallen, I might have broke something.
Right.
So that's really what we're trying to avoid is a major break.
Yeah, it's your ability to kind of react. Everyone will kind of slip or trip, but can you react before you hit the floor? So you want to try and regain it before. So you can strengthen that even if you were just practicing standing on one foot throughout your day by something that you can hold on to, of course, if you're a little wobbly, or if you just practice, you know, in a grocery store or when you're waiting for the bus or when you're waiting for someone to get ready, the more you can stand on one foot, the more your body has to get used to that balance, and eventually you'll improve.
You improve your muscle in your legs and your core and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Of course, there's other things of a chair, sitting back into a chair. The more times you can do that in a row, the strength in your legs, the better.
You know, the interesting thing when you're saying that one, that sounds like a simple thing. Oh, I can sit into a chair. I didn't realize until I started working on this with a coach that there's actually a way to sit in the chair and a way not to. And most people don't sit down correctly.
I know.
It's amazing. What do you mean I don't know how I'm sitting down? Oh, your butt should be pushed back further. Sorry. So my behind should be pushed back further.
No, it's so true. Yeah, your waist and your heels. Yeah, your knees are in line with your toes. Exactly.
You know, and it's just an amazing thing that you just take for granted that we all know how to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not as easy. Sorry, I just had to digress on that one because I went through training to actually learn how to re-sit down and stand up from a chair.
And one of the interesting things about falls is we do have a falls prevention program or an improve your balance program.
Yeah.
And the majority, really the intent of that program is to get people into that program prior to them falling to prevent falls. But the majority of people that come to that program are coming because they've had too many falls, and they're now recognizing the fact that, okay, this is serious and I need to do something about it.
I need to do something about that. That's quite an interesting point. I've fallen, you know, it's almost like this the bad joke, right? I'm falling, I can't get up. But that's almost what you're saying,
exactly.
Right? You know, that old joke that we always usually say, but I guess it's not a joke for you guys.
No,
not at all.
Well, it also happens for other programs as well. You know, you might go into another program like Healthier Way, but you go in once your weight's already a problem, or cardiac rehab, you go in because you've had a cardiac event. So there are some programs that you go into because you're dealing with that issue, but then you have other programs that you should be thinking about going into as a prevention measure so that you don't end up falling. Yeah.
Yeah, and then proper diet and exercise is really more about prevention in today's world.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting, you guys are talking about programming. I know about the cardiac program. You have other programs, too, within the organization.
Yeah, we have a lot of programs. We partner with Cancer Care for Moving Forward After Cancer program. So that's a program once people are finished their cancer treatment and they're now looking to move forward after that and lead a healthier lifestyle.
Is that a program that's sponsored, you pay for? How does that generally work?
We partner with Cancer Care. So Cancer Care actually funds the people into that program. So we work with them to get the right people into that program.
And you have a similar program for cardiac disease too, people recovering from cardiac surgery or a cardiac event. Is that a proper, better way to put it?
Yeah, pretty much. You also have things like arrhythmias or you know, if you're going heart failure, or if there are different types of cardiac incidents that would qualify for that, or a pacemaker, for example. That mostly comes from referral. And then doctors will kind of refer to the refit and then we'll get them set up.
So some programs there too. Interesting thing is I have lots of friends. Lots of friends have been very sports active in their younger days. And things are starting to wear out now, like hip replacements, knee replacements. I'm just curious, you guys do anything for that?
We do. We have a hip and knee program for people pre-surgery or well after surgery or just with hip and knee pain. And the results that we see in that program are amazing. The pre and post outcome measurements are huge. So that's a cool program. We are just starting a total knee replacement program because of changes with the WRHA. So that program starts in November, and that's for people 2 to 3 weeks post-op for a knee replacement.
So after the actual knee replacement.
Yes.
And what does that look like?
That's going to be with our physiotherapists and our fitness staff. It's going to be an initial private assessment with a physiotherapist and then moving into either private treatment or a group program, which would be with up to 12 people. And the purpose of that program is to regain the range of motion in the knee joint.
Yeah, so then there's opportunities at the Refit Center for people to get expertise for cardiac recovery, cancer recovery, knee recovery, those kind of things. You have lots of programs that are just for everybody else too, right? Like exercise programs and stuff?
Yeah, like you're in one right now, right? We call it our performance programs. It's really for people to take their fitness to the next level. And the goal of the program is to increase muscle mass, decrease fat mass, and just overall become healthier, right? And those programs have amazing results. And it really pushes people to that next level. So it really takes them from maybe working at a moderate intensity level to pushing them to probably doing things they didn't realize they could do, right?
They could do, yeah. Mm-hmm. And be challenged at
it. And you're probably a good example of that.
Oh, thank you. You're so very kind. I actually have people sometimes walk up to me and go, "You're that crazy guy." Yeah, I'm 55 and crazy. That's okay. I'm okay with that. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
You can visit our website at refit.com, or you can give us a call at 204-488-8023, and then our staff will help guide you based on your needs.
To whatever your needs are. What a show we've been having. I love talking about fitness and physical activity, and we didn't even get to talk about food. We're going to have to do a show on food sometime. But just a space that I love talking about because I honestly, I've seen the benefits, right? And, you know, have an arc life, I understand it. Final thought. If you had final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Like our tagline is one body for life. Okay. You have one body and you need to take care of it. And if you have not been taking care of it, there's no better time than now to start taking care of it. And lead as healthy of life as you can.
I've always loved the statement, the future is now. Right? It's like right now, right? And so, which is very present state statement. So get off the couch, take care of yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Give us a call. We will what we can.
Thank you. Thank you for hanging out, both
Thanks
of you.
I mean,
just
us.
Wonderful.
Thanks
and
so
listeners,
much.
Thank you for tuning in. I always appreciate it when you click the radio on, whether it's in your car or at home or at the cottage, wherever you might be. If you have a thought, a question, or an idea for a guest, please do send me a note, richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.